Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to the Coach and Coordinator Podcast and another episode in our home team series. This is another exciting one, a great one from the offensive line coach at the University of Virginia, Garrett Tujay. With close to 30 years of coaching experience, Coach Tujay has plenty of knowledge about balancing family life and football. Before coaching at Virginia, Coach Tujay worked for 15 years to help rebuild the College of Canyons football program, and he served as the head coach for his last six seasons there. He then transitioned back to his alma mater at BYU to work under then-head coach Bronco Mendenhall as the offensive line coach. When Coach Mendenhall was hired by the University of Virginia, Coach Tujay followed suit, and he has been on the Cavaliers staff for the last four seasons. Tune into this episode of Coaching Coordinator as we dive into Coach Tujay's home team with our guest host, Joel Nellis. Let's kick it over to Coach Nellis.
Hello, coaches, and welcome to the Home Team Podcast, where football coaches from around the country provide the coaching community with improvements to their game plans for winning a husband and a father. Today, we're going to be speaking with Garrett Tujay, who is in his fourth season at Virginia on Bronco Mendenhall's staff as the offensive line coach. Coach Tujay and I came in connection with each other through Drew Meyer, who I had an opportunity to know and meet through the University of Wisconsin. He's currently a graduate assistant on staff at Virginia. And we had struck up a conversation about how they do things on their staff and about having Sundays off during the season. It struck me as a pretty interesting concept. I know a lot of high school programs do it, but wasn't sure, you know, how that worked at the college level, especially the Power Five program. As much success as Virginia has had, obviously winning part of the ACC championship last year and playing in a New Year's Six Bowl. So Coach Meyer connecting me with Coach Tujay, and I had probably one of the most fascinating conversations ever on this podcast about the schedule they keep, the value that Coach Mendenhall puts on family, and just how they go about their business. So I really hope that coaches from around the country at all levels get the chance to hear this podcast. It just provides some different insights into how schedules can be done and the value on family. And I just thought it was a really eye-opening experience for me. And something that, you know, I'll definitely be sharing with as many coaches as I can. So I look forward to you guys listening to Coach Garrett Tujay, again, the offensive line coach at the University of Virginia. Coach Tujay, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Coach, man, I appreciate you having me on. Looking forward to talking to you.
Let's jump right in and start talking about the stars of your home team, beginning with your wife. How did you meet this special woman?
Yeah, so, I mean, you've heard it before, said many times behind any good man is a great woman. And so it's funny, we both have contradictory stories on how we met. And so I like to go with mine, especially being a football player. So we met on the steps of the library at BYU. I think right when I got in there, it was like maybe late August, early September. Right when we got in there, one of my buddies, he and I played football together. He was up there and she was coming out of the library. We were going in and stopped and said hello and kind of became good friends from there. So, yeah, that was when it all started, on the steps of the library. So people can say all they want, but football players do go to the library.
Oh, no question about it. Now, Coach, were you – I know you're an offense. You're the offensive line coach, correct?
Correct. I coached the offensive line at the University of Virginia.
So were you were you an offensive lineman at BYU?
I was, yeah. So I was there for 3 years. I was a junior college transfer from Chabot College in Northern California, transferred in there. And we ran the wing T in college and then ended up going to BYU just because I wanted to learn how to pass pro. I figured that was my shot. That was my ticket into the NFL. And
sure.
Didn't quite hit that deal, but did marry the love of my life and met her at BYU as well. So. But that's where it all started, was on the steps of the library at BYU.
Awesome. What's a character trait or quality that she has that makes her so special to you?
Yeah, you know, I think probably the most important thing, man, is she does an excellent job of being a listener. And then one of the greatest aspects I've learned from her is being in a position to championship your spouse and has done an amazing job of supporting me, obviously. And then early on, I'll have to tell you, man, her dad did an amazing job of training her. I mean, before picture in picture was a thing, Saturdays and Sundays, you'd have two or three TVs stacked on top of each other with cable wires split, watching college football and the NFL. So she's a big time college football fan. And, you know, it's a total package with us at the University of Virginia, wherever we go. I mean, have my guys over, you know, 2 to 3 times a month for an occasional meal. And, man, just the joy that they have being in our home. And, you know, she'll send me text messages to send to them before games and, you know, letting them know basically that they got this and that their preparation has led them to be able to anticipate and execute. And so it's a total package deal with her and I. And I think half the time I'm able to keep my job at Virginia is because my head coach loves the team concept of her and I more than he likes me. So it's a good gig. It's a really good gig. Yeah, she's awesome. You know, she's also the first one to tell me, hey, could have used a little bit more time in that pass protection there, or been a little bit bigger hole on that run game. So she's also not afraid to tell me the brutal facts, which, you know, feedback's a gift. So very lucky to have Miss Cammy Ann in my life. So
that's awesome. Yeah, a good little feedback doesn't hurt. Sometimes it maybe hurts more from your one, but maybe better than a reporter, right? Better from someone else outside the program.
Exactly. We have a little signal. So after like inter-squad scrimmages or games, you know, because we don't know the company around us, she'll ask me, you know, how'd it go? And then we have a signal for, if I touch my eyes, it was sad. If I grab my ears, that's the bling. It was a good day. So that's how we communicate so that nobody can catch on to our signals. So it's important to have those, you know, and we check on each other throughout the day and, you know, ask me how I'm doing, how my guys are doing, and vice versa. So it's a good team.
That's awesome. Let's talk about the other members of your starting lineup, your kids. What are their names, ages, and maybe what makes them so unique or special to you?
I love that. Great question. So I'm blessed. We have three children. We have two daughters. They're the oldest, and my son is the youngest. My oldest daughter is 24 years old, Savannah Brooke. She is probably the most competitive of the three. Played college soccer, graduated, and is leading a sales team in a predominantly male environment and just kicking butt, loving it. She is, without question, when I was a head coach out in Southern California, she would talk to my offensive coordinator about how the mesh route wasn't deep enough and they weren't. Oh, yeah. And, you know, got a text from her during the championship game. Dad, LSU's struggling with their 5-man protection and, you know, and, you know, the fifth side and the slide side. I mean, it just is crazy. And so she is a big-time college football junkie. I think going on maybe 2 or 3 years straight of going to a college football game every Saturday during the regular season where, you know, she'll go anywhere. She's on the West Coast. So she's big-time, has worked a little bit in college football as a recruiting specialist and things of that nature, and just loves everything about the game. And my middle or youngest daughter, middle child, Summer Grace, she's a stud. She was actually going to school out in Utah and decided this 2019-2020 season to take all of her classes online so she could move back to Virginia and kind of just be able to be here and experience the Virginia college football season. And she's my good luck charms. That's the reason why we were 7-0 at home, because she was here at every game. And, you know, she's a total, she'll drive the family to any of the away games that are within like 6 hours. So she's a stud.
Wow.
Her too. She's a big time college football fan and loves it. And, you know, just, I'm telling you, both my daughters probably know more about football than most men, which is a good thing. We have very articulate football conversations while we're trying to watch a game together or whatever. So that's fun. And then my son, 16 years old, and he's a sophomore in high school and thinks he's a bad A, man. He's starting to figure out how important it is to push steel. And he started on varsity this last year as an outside linebacker tight end. And, You know, I tease him all the time, but he's coming into his own again, you know, lives and dies with his dad, and was the first one on the field to give me a hug after a game, and very, very supportive, and I appreciate that a lot. So it's good. They're all in. I'm telling you, we have a hashtag. It's just hashtag team 2J, number two letter J, and we just, man, we're there for each other, and that's probably one of the best things when you start talking about family. You know, again, I'm blessed to be a part of Bronco Mendenhall staff, and no question about it, just finished 8 years, been with them for 9 years, and man, I've been very lucky, but I don't know how many other Power 5 Division I football coaches have been able to watch. You know, I was able to go to 8 of my son's varsity football games last year, and, you know, I wanted to go, but I was also mandated to go by Coach Mendenhall because that, you know, you don't get that time back, so... Right. You got to listen to the boss, right? So
no doubt.
But that's our starting lineup right there.
My son and I just watched Remember the Titans, and it sounds like your oldest daughter is a little bit like Coach's daughter, right? Like,
no,
the mesh
route
wasn't deep enough. The protection wasn't tight enough. All that other good stuff.
Oh, yeah. There's no question. She is, you know, when I was the head coach, she'd be the one. During our scrimmage, we'd have a watermelon bust at the end of our scrimmages, and she'd be in the end zone cutting up all the watermelon for my guys after the game. And you know, she'd just be down there just losing her mind, you know, just getting very much involved. And, you know, but you got to love people that have passion, man. That's what it's all about.
Next, let's move into a section called We Make the Call and discuss how your family has navigated some of the important decisions throughout your career.
Yeah.
Obviously, from the sounds of it, your wife was pretty fired up about football in general, but, you know, the commitment it takes to be a coach and live that lifestyle is obviously a little bit different. How were those negotiations with your wife about your career move?
Yeah, no, it was, you know, she obviously, we met while I was doing my undergrad. And again, I will say that I did meet her on the steps of the library, but school probably wasn't my first passion. You know, I thought just like, everybody else that I was going to be playing a 10-year, 12-year career in the NFL. And, you know, and I didn't know what I was going to do after that. But at the end of it, I ended up getting a degree, which I was very lucky. But we were at BYU, and I got a job to go back to my alma mater, my junior college, to be the offensive line coach for, you know, maybe $2,000 on the year. And both of us had really good jobs making more money than we could spend. And we dropped everything and, you know, ended up getting a job pulling parts for, you know, big trucks, the rear ends and engines of big trucks in the Bay Area. And, you know, she ended up, you know, giving up her job and going into sales and retail just so we could chase this dream. And I remember I came back home one day and I just was, you know, I wasn't myself. I was bummed and started talking and, man, I was like, I really want to get into this coaching full time. And in order to do that, I got to get my master's degree. And she's like, babe, school's not your thing. You know, and I'm like, I know, but I got to do this, right? And so, you know, we ended up packing up everything we had. And at that time, I was working to operate for, you know, a pretty large trucking company. And again, making really good money. We had our first child or daughter, and ended up giving up all that, again, six-figure salary to go back to making $200 a month as a GA at the University of Redlands, and there was zero hesitation on her part. I mean, I made $200 a month, but our rent was $900, you know, so those things, there were sacrifices, and we both agreed before we got married that, you know, she would stay home with the kids, just, you know, we wanted to take that route and that we would sacrifice and do what we had to, and then ended up after that graduating with a master's degree in psychology with like a 4.0, which to this day, my parents and my wife can't believe I did that, but it was my passion. You know, ended up going to working 10 hours a week as a counselor at a junior college in Southern California, turned that in, you know, into folding tacos at a Mexican restaurant. In the evenings, you know, working the bar, being a bouncer and all that, and coaching ball in the afternoons. And that ended up turning into a full-time job. And we were living in Southern California, making the most of it. And I'll never forget, Bronco kind of hit me up and asked me if I'd be interested in going to BYU. And didn't, my wife didn't even bat an eye, man. She's like, before you send your resume, let me look it over. Let's make sure to check all your references. And I ended up going out there and didn't even bat an eye. Did not even bat an eye. And, you know, the family was, I mean, we were deeply rooted in Southern California. My wife's whole family's there. My family's in Northern California. And, you know, didn't even bat an eye and ended up heading out to Provo, Utah to coach at BYU and just had a phenomenal experience there. I'm pretty lucky. I mean, I've coached at one, two, three, four, five different places. So, I mean, there's other guys that have got more warrior marks than I do, obviously, when it comes to that. But I think it's surrounding myself with the right people, the right place. And then obviously when Coach Mendenhall took the job at the University of Virginia, he asked 14 families to come with him, and all 14 followed him. So again, it was, you know, we ended up leaving Southern California. The whole family's like, let's go. Get to BYU. Awesome. Work there. And then, oh my gosh, Virginia, let's go. And now they love it here. They're begging, you know, Dad, we can't leave. We got to stay. Place is amazing. And again, it's just, I think it's the, you know, it's who first and then what. I mean, the people are everything. And I've been very lucky. And so through those transitions, it's always been on our knees in prayer, asking for guidance. And I think that's been a big part of our success as a family, is we're not afraid. We're too arrogant to get on our knees and ask for help and guidance.
It's awesome to hear that. You know, we usually ask a question, and your kids are kind of age, right, where they had a little bit more of a, maybe a stay, but really, you know, coach was going to say, go, we're going to go. It's a lot different process when you're losing a job or when you're getting picked. Let me ask you this. Have you been asked, obviously Broncos, obviously Coach Mendenhall has created quite an environment. Have you been approached about other jobs? And if so, how did you and your wife, maybe even your kids, evaluate those things? Or was it just a sold out to this guy?
That's a great question. And, you know, I think with the success that Coach Mendenhall has established, you know, second, now that Coach Peterson from Washington has stepped down, Coach Mendenhall is the second highest winning percentage active coach in the last 15 years. And, you know, I think there's a lot of people out there that are very curious to the way we do things and how we do them. And our staff is constantly trying to be picked apart. And I mean, I probably anywhere from 2 to 5 Power Five job offers a year. And again, I think that that's awesome, and it's humbling, and it's, you know, everybody wants to be wanted. I think that's a huge thing in this industry, and, you know, trying to find a way to advance your career and looking for this title or looking for that title. But, you know, there's been serious conversations where you come home and you go, hey, babe, I got an awesome job opportunity from XYZ University. And, you know, it's going to be X amount of thousands of dollars more. There's going to be a title in it. And yeah, I'm going to work every Sunday. I'm probably going to be in the office Sundays till 11 p.m. And, you know, I'm not going to be able to have dinner every night, which, again, I've done that early in my career. I've been on staffs that, you know, there's literally a cot in your office, and that's okay. I mean, there's 100 ways to skin a cat, as they say. And with Coach Mendenhall, I mean, the bottom line is we have a guiding principle, the word and. You're going to be competitive, and you're going to be one of the best offensive line coaches in the country, and you're going to be a kick-ass husband, and you're going to be an amazing father, and you're going to be a pillar in the community, you know, and, you know, you're going to be active in your church if that's what you choose to do. And so those things, any type of technology that's going to speed up that process, I mean, Coach Mendenhall is a huge fan of that. And so you've got to weigh those things. And again, you know, the quality of life that I have right now that Coach Mendenhall has established is pretty rare. It's extremely unique. And, you know, if you were to go to an athletic director and say, hey, here's my staff, We're not going to work Sundays, and they're going to be home for dinner every night. You know, and you better win, right? Otherwise, right. Hey, maybe you guys should work on Sunday. You know, yeah. Maybe you guys should stay later. And so it's been fun to be a part of that, to be unique and to be special, because really in our profession, you know, I feel very blessed because, you know, I'm around men every day that, yeah, football is an incredible game. I think it's the greatest game on earth ever played. But it's not about football. It's about using football as a vehicle to develop young men, you know, to create better husbands and fathers and doctors and lawyers and garbage men or city, whatever it is that you choose to path, you choose to take, you know, that's our calling as coaches. And to be able to do that through the vehicle called football is amazing. So, you know, those opportunities come and again, you know, right now I'm in a great situation. Would love for my son to graduate from high school, you know, from the state of Virginia. He loves it here. My family loves it here. And so that's a big part of why, like I said earlier, who first and then what? Because I think you can accomplish pretty much anything you want to if you're surrounded by the right people.
I would wholeheartedly agree with that.
Yeah.
Coach, your kids are older, and sometimes I talk to guys who have kids that are pretty young, and they're not susceptible to social media and the newspapers and all this other stuff. And how do you help maybe shield your kids who are older or guide them through the negative press, social media, yeah, all that stuff that comes with being in a high-profile job like Virginia?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, I think that the most important thing is that our family, we have a saying that secrets suck. And again, as a head coach at a junior college in Southern California, obviously not as high profile as this. But in the community that I was in was very passionate about football, especially their community college football. And I think as long as, you know, we have family council and we talk about those things. And I think, you know, I tell my, you know, my kids all the time that, you know, that if there's a question or you have a concern, that let's talk about it in family council and get it out there. Because again, I mean, secrets suck, and I don't want people wondering, well, what if this or what if that? And you know, I think that there's people out there that are passionate about Virginia football. And they want these kids in this institution to experience success. And, you know, I think sometimes they say things, maybe they mean, maybe they don't, maybe they're frustrated, you know, but we all have bad days. A lot of what I talk about is, you know, social media can be a very good thing, can be used to spread a message of gratitude and hope and strength and courage and teamwork and, you know, those types of things, and it can also tear you down. But again, I think you filter what you allow in. I think there comes a lot of self-reassurance. You know, again, you look at the things that my daughters have accomplished, you know, graduating with a high GPA from a prestigious academic school. My other daughter's, you know, three years in college and is on track to graduate in 3.5. My son, you know, is a great student, you know, 3.9 GPA, and is having a little success with football and really, you know, really into his buddies and his friends and his church, our church youth group and things of that nature. I think that those things are all very important. And like I said, we're more than just a football family. You know, we have that same attitude as we're going to try and find ways to provide community service to our community. We're going to try and find ways to make a difference in other people's lives, paying it forward. Those are things, simple tasks that we set out as a family to do, to give us a better understanding of who we are, so we know who we are. But yeah, man, it's tough when your children have those questions, you know. And again, I think you just answer them straight on and you're honest. And I think it's a lot easier to deal with the truth than the what ifs or, you know, I mean, I think that's part of being in a big boy sport.
No doubt. Coach, this is usually the section of the podcast that we call clock management and talk about how you blend family and football, but I would really like to dive in deep into what how things work at the University of Virginia. I spoke to a lot of guys, all of which I think are phenomenal husbands and fathers and work for good people. But I don't think I've ever heard of a college, a Power Five staff that has Sundays off. Yeah. And I don't think I've heard of a Power Five staff. And to be honest, Coach, many high school programs sometimes are, you know, very tied into weekends and other things like that with their program. And so I guess I'd like to hear a little bit more about, you know, your week at the University of Virginia and how you guys handle the weeks, what you do on your Sundays, things like that. So maybe if you could kind of go through with us, you know, break down your week a little bit. Like, how does it balance out from the time a game ends to the time the game kicks off the next week?
So again, and predicated on a game on Saturday to a game the following Saturday, that being the traditional setup, I'll tell you, you know, so game finishes Saturday night, you know, and then what I personally cannot sleep until I've watched film and graded it.
I won't be able,
my wife knows that. She kisses me on the forehead and tells me to get home as soon as I can. And so I'm a big fan of noon kickoff, but sometimes you get those 7 o'clock or 7:30 kickoffs at night. So that can be for a late night, but but Saturdays are just important for me to put that to bed. And then I'll have, you know, before I leave, I'll take a look at situational football of our opponent coming up. So third downs, red zone, that type of stuff. And then Sunday, basically get home and then get up. And no matter what, I mean, there's been times where we've landed at 6 o'clock in the morning because we played on the West Coast Sunday morning, but we're going to go to church as a family no matter what. And so sometimes that church time starts at 10, sometimes it starts at 8, sometimes it starts at noon. So, but no matter what, we're going to get up and go to church as a family, get back from church. And then my wife and I will go on like a 5 to 10 mile hike on Sundays just to spend time with each other and talk about the week and, you know, the pits and peaks of our week, we call it. And so things that we got planned for the next week, and then come home and then we'll have a big Sunday dinner together, which is really good. And then not a lot of NFL football, you know, a lot of players that I've coached are on teams. And so we kind of follow those and just sit back and talk about, you know, them and what they've meant to us as a family on Sundays. And, you know, and again, I'll periodically on my iPad look at some third and shorts and third mediums and just be ready to go to work on Monday morning. So having Sundays off during the season, we get in fairly early Monday morning and just charge the mound, go, go, go. Meet with our players, bury the game before. A lot of our players, you know, either Saturday or Sunday, they're texting each other back off of a like plays and things of that nature. And I may watch anywhere from 10 to 25 plays with the guys. And then we dive into the next opponent. I mean, they're expected to watch the game. They get their grades. They get all that stuff Saturday night before I leave. And so, man, but one of the coolest things we do is Mondays are long days. I'd probably get home like 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. But every Monday at 5 o'clock, Coach Mendenhall shuts down the whole operation from 5 to 6, buys dinner for our whole coaching staff and our kids, and they all come in the office, and then the place turns into like a mini Chuck E. Cheese. Man, there's just little kids running all over it. And if there's been numbers at times that we have the highest amount of little kids in the country on our staff. And I mean, it's just awesome, man. You got really nice steaks, and then you got chicken fingers, and it's a great night. And then the families, you know, usually migrate out to the indoor practice facility, and they go and play, and then we go back to work at 6, and then just finish up stuff. We practice in the mornings, so when I get back Tuesday morning, I'm ready to rock and roll. Done with practice probably by 10:30 Tuesday morning. Same with Wednesday morning. Watch film, and my guys probably have their film with my comments probably by noon. And then every day, Coach Mendenhall gives us time to exercise. It's almost like you got to tell them what you did so you didn't just go waste time, but he wants you to exercise every day. you know, if it's just going for a walk or pushing steel or jogging or, you know, what it's swimming like. He wants you to get out of the office, rejuvenate, and then, man, Tuesday, Wednesday, typically home by 6:30 for dinner with my family. Thursdays are amazing, so go again, practice Thursday morning, same deal. At 12:30, we meet at Coach Mendenhall's home, and we have a staff meeting there, and then we break off offensive, defense, and we're usually done by 3 o'clock on Thursdays. Time if there's a you know, pregame meal for my son's team or whatever, I'm there to help serve with that, to be a part of that, you know, hang out with him and, you know, be able to talk about our day. And then Thursdays after, I usually go back into the office, so after we're done there, and I meet with all my first years just to kind of look at clips that they've done on our developmental squad, you know, little tips that I want them to work on so they're feeling, and talk to them a little bit about our game plan for Saturday, just so that they're, you know, not just totally blindsided when it's their turn. So we're constantly trying to develop those young men. Man, Fridays, Coach, I don't have to go into work if it's a home game till 3 o'clock in the afternoon, unless I have a recruit or a kid from my area. Man, I'm, sure, you know, hanging out with my wife and I, we go on another hike together, usually Friday morning. If we have an away game, then we practice Friday morning, we're on the plane, and then start the cycle all over again. Usually Fridays, obviously, if it's a home game, we get our guys in the hotel, take them to a movie, and then we just rotate, taking turns to bed check. And like I said, this last year, I was at 8 of my son's games on Friday night, didn't miss kickoff. Very special deal. And then Saturday we got our game and go from there. So again, like I said, any type of technology that we can use to speed up that interaction with our players, we believe getting our players information swiftly certainly is very important. That's the way the best type of learning can take place, so it's fresh on their minds. And then again, that text messaging can typically take place, I mean, throughout the evening if it need be and stuff like that. But a lot of film cut up with our opponent and stuff like that, watching special packages or whatever, and interacting with that way through the certain type of media tools that we use. So that's our week. You know, I would tell you that nights get maybe a little bit later if we have a Friday kickoff or things of that nature. But Saturday is pretty much home every night except Mondays for, you know, and then obviously Saturday nights for the game, but home for dinner, pretty special deal. So again, one of the most important things, one of the most important jobs that we have, I believe, as men, is to be fathers. I think that's what we'll be judged on the most. That's my opinion. And that time goes by faster than, you know, and I can still see my daughters in their ponytails trying to grip a regulation size football, and same with my son. It goes fast. So you don't want to miss that time.
How do you guys collaborate in the evening times? You know, I think to the guys that I know or have talked to in the industry, you know, and it's, hey, get done. And then where guys come in, if they have morning practice, right, guys will come in the afternoon, have a meeting, and then maybe you're going to watch it as a group again, or you're going to make recruiting calls. I mean, talk to me. I'm guessing that, yes, you're home for dinner, and that's awesome, but there's also some work to be done at home that you alluded to.
Absolutely.
You know, how are you guys collaborating as a staff to make sure everyone's on the same page, especially during those evening times when you're at home?
Yeah, I mean, we have an awesome recruiting database that we use that is linked up to, you know, when anytime I'm texting players or talking to them on the phone, there's a log of that gets pushed to all the people that need to know. Like, so if there's a kid in the Virginia Beach area, in Coach Hagen's area, and he's an offensive lineman, those notes get pushed to me, the offensive coordinator, and the head coach if it's a high-profile player. So that way, you know, that they know that the communication's taking place, what we talked about. I mean, technology is an amazing thing, and so there's a lot of, when asked to do something, you close the loop, you know, and making sure that everybody's on the same page. So there's a lot of communication that way via text message. And then, like I said, we have one of probably the best recruited that recruiting database as ever. You know, there's a virtual board that we have. There's not a board up anywhere in our football complex of our recruits. It's all virtual. It's all on our iPads and through our program that we use. And so you can constantly manipulate, and that's the only expectation, is that every night before you go to bed, your board reflects your conversations of recruiting. And so, you know, and I think one of the greatest things that I've done is I've positioned myself to where I'm about, you know, 20, 25 minutes away from home. It's a great time to knock out some recruiting calls then, coaches. Right. And typically, you know, during the season, you know, we're done with our film and our review as a staff study by 2 o'clock. Could go later, and then setting up practice for the next day, the looks and all that stuff goes till like three or four maybe, and then, you know, recruit till 5:36 and get home. So again, you know, like I said, most of those kids have afternoon practices, so maybe you're at home and you get up off the couch and you talk to a kid for 10-15 minutes and making sure you're dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's with your guys, and, you know, making sure you're communicating that way. And again, our staff does a really good job of building relationships with kids. And so the more kids that are recruiting an individual player, the more they feel connected to our program, the better off we feel. So yeah, there's work at home, but, you know, I'd rather do that than sit in my office chair till 10:30 at night.
Yep.
You know, when I can do the same thing on my couch, and then just make sure we close the loop with our staff. And so, you know, you can merge phone call. I mean, there's so many things you can do nowadays with technology that puts everybody in the same place at the same time. And we take advantage of that big time. So
I'm guessing, you know, one thing I talk to guys about, especially after, and then this time of the year, right, you're going back through, you're doing film study, you know, recruiting dead period, but obviously it's still active, and you go through and you're trying to, you know, decide why you're in, you know, this variation play, and I could have got, I'm guessing that, and maybe you guys, because of schedule dictates, or maybe you're just better, you know, suited for it, but how do you guys really prevent going down the rabbit hole? Because I'm guessing that can really add unnecessary time to the days. And, you know, I saw, you know, this clip of a tight shade, and that's the, you know, 2 out of 200, like, oh, but, you know, like, how do you avoid just keeping it, doing what you guys do, and really, you know, making that work for you?
So, and I think that's a phenomenal question. And again, I would tell you that, that the familiarity that we have as a staff, I think that helps offensively. The core of our offensive staff has been together for 9 years. You know, and again, in the beginning, there were some bumps, and there were some learning curves, and, you know, and I think this time of the year, we do ask a lot of those hard questions. We also do a self-scout every week, and, you know, and I think that one of the things that our offensive coordinator, Robert, and I does an amazing job of is, you know, we all take part of the game planning. You know, some places they'll send, you know, and again, I'm not trying to say anybody one is worse or less more important than the other, but, you know, two coaches from the offensive staff will just recruit all day, and they'll just show up to practice, and, you know, and the quarterback coach and the coordinator and the O-line guy, they're the ones putting the game plan together. Or there's places where you just get the game plan slammed on your desk Sunday, and that's what we're doing, and figure out how, you know, I mean, there's that. But I mean, Coach and I have done a really good job of developing all of us, and, you know, I could tell you every single depth of the routes that we're supposed to run on certain concepts. I could tell, you know, I mean, I could tell you their split alignment. And that's, you know, again, how does that happen? And we've sat in the same room together for 9 years, you know, so I think that has a huge part of it. I think also, too, you look at what works, you decide why it works, you look at what doesn't work and why it doesn't work. And again, there's no sense in just slamming a square peg in a round hole. You know, again, numbers don't lie. We rely heavily on the numbers. You know, we have an offensive analyst, a defensive analyst, a special teams analyst, and that's kind of their role and what they do. And, they give us those that feedback. So we're all kind of working in our little niche, and we know each other and our personalities. But yeah, I mean, you could sit there and talk about, okay, let's manipulate it to get a three technique in this, so we're running that, and then lo and behold, you know, the guy might line up the wrong way, and you're running it to the 2-eye. And now I've been a part of staffs where, oh my gosh, was that an accident? Was that a
right.
Well, coach, man, there's 800 clips of them in their 4-2 front, and they've ran three times. They've had double 2-eyes. And so, in a non-short yarder situation. So again, we take a look at what they do, why they do it. And I think we have a good an idea of why people do what they do. And again, people are who they are. You know, there's not really wild ass changes, if you will, but there's little wrinkles. And I think you got to try and figure out, like, right now we're going through saying, okay, how's this team going to play us based upon this, based upon that? And you have to answer those questions. You have to take a look at that to better prepare yourselves and to learn the game. And I think, man, to prepare your players for what they're going to see. So, hopefully that answered your question. But yeah, I think our continuity as a staff. And again, I have no problem, you know, the wide receiver coach going, "Touge, man, we got to get the guard out there on the crack go," or, you know, he knows what my guys are supposed to do. I know what his guys are supposed to do. So if he sees something, man, and I don't see it because I'm watching the tackle down block or something in a practice, and he has every right to get on my guard to do his job because I know he's put in the time and he's invested. You know, he doesn't just coach his guys. We all coach. You know, I'm not back there telling the quarterback how to throw, though.
That's a different animal right altogether.
That's a different skill set. But it is. It's being like and knowing each other. And you know, I think when you come in with the whole objective is to give your guys the best opportunity to be successful, it's my job to know what my guys can do.
Coach, I'm going to play a devil's advocate. Well, maybe have you be the analyst here. You know, you guys, you know, coaching salaries are higher at that level and everything else. And, you know, but guys, obviously you said there's no right or wrong way to do it. Guys do it differently. You look at other guys that spend a lot of time in the office, and do you ever just wonder to yourself, or if you lose a game, how do you not say, "Oh man, we could have spent more time"? Like, how do you combat? Because again, going back to the media, and so, you know, some people, I think good people will hear this and be like, "Man, this is amazing. Like, this is probably far one of the most enlightening talks we've had on this podcast." At the same time, I know some people I have to believe as being a high paid employee of the state or a university, right?
Yeah,
like
you
got to justify the salary you make, and, oh man, these guys aren't even in on Sundays, and, you know, Florida State's working 900 hours a week. And how do you talk to people about it? How do you handle that pressure? How do you have confidence walking into a game knowing that you covered all your bases?
Yeah, I think that's a phenomenal question. And I would tell you, my answer is as plain and simple as this. And I think it comes back to, you know, your players. It's called Tell the Truth Monday, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's the most important thing. I straight up stole that from Pete Carroll, and you got to tell the truth. And I asked my guys, were you or were you not prepared? Were there things that you saw Saturday that I did not prepare you for? You know, sometimes that is yes. Man, that sucks. Man, I have failed tremendously when I have not prepared my guys for what they were going to see. You know, now there's times where you're physically outmatched, and it doesn't matter what you do. And then now that falls back on me, man. Am I recruiting the right guy? Am I putting my best foot forward? Those are all tough questions and answers that you have to know the answer to. Like you said, I mean, being an employee of the state and bringing pride back to the football program at the University of Virginia, you know, how do you go about doing that? And I think that's our secret at the University of Virginia. I think, you know, I would tell you that our players, are the single most important thing to us. We, you know, if, and again, I don't know how many college coaches you're going to say love the transfer portal. Man, I think the transfer portal is an amazing thing. Mm-hmm. It holds coaches accountable to what they say when they recruit kids.
Yep.
You know, it, and again, coaches get the opportunity to leave. Why shouldn't players?
Right.
You know, if you're recruiting a kid and you're telling them, oh, the sun shines and it always mm-hmm. sets and it's never windy and, you know, the sun won't get you, whatever, and the kid gets there and it's not what you said it was, there's a serious loss of trust. And if a kid trusts you and you can trust a kid that he's going to make great decisions and he knows that you have his back, what can't you do? So I think it goes back to your players and building that bond. I do not like the word recruiting. I think there's so many negative connotations to it, and it's just an ugly mm-hmm. word. But I love building relationships. You know, I love building relationships. And to me, I think those will last the test of time, and they will build trust. And trust isn't just something you water. You know, that's got to be tested through time. There's got to be conflict, and it's got to be resolved. And I think that's how you start building relationships. I have no problem watching a young man work a one-on-one at a Nike camp and getting his butt smoked and telling him, bro, that was terrible. Well, screw you, coach. That's fine. Then if you can't take feedback, then you probably aren't going to fit at the University of Virginia.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I do. I ask my guys all the time, man, are you prepared? What could we have done differently? What could I have done to help you? You know, could there have been more walkthroughs? Could, you know, and I'm constantly evaluating that. I think, you know, there was a point last year where offensively we were struggling. Man, we made some changes. We nicked at this and nicked at that. And, man, ended up winning the ACC Coastal side for the first time ever in the history mm-hmm. of Virginia. So, again, you got to not be afraid to tweak and mangle and revamp and look at things if it's not working. You know, you got to find ways to let your players be successful. Give them the best opportunity to be successful. You know, people go, hey, so what kind of offense do you run? Well, what kind of tools do you got in your shed? If you're trying to run a West Coast offense and your quarterback can't freaking hit the side of the barn with a football, what are you doing?
Right.
You know, oh, we're in the air raid and you have a 23% completion. That's not very smart. You know, when we've been at Virginia for 4 years, we've run basically four different types of offenses because you got to use the tools in your shed. So I think it goes back to knowing your players, you know, and again, those relationships and building that trust. Now, are we 100%? No. No, we're not. But, man, I love it. At the end of the first year, I asked my first years, was it better than, worse than, or what you expected? Coach, it was better than. Well, why? Because, man, coach, you told me it was going to be the hardest thing I ever did in my life, and you weren't lying. You told me that when you got here, you were going to get a white pair of shorts, a white t-shirt, some nice Nike cleats and some socks, and everything after that you had to earn. Like, where else in college football is that even something that kid walks on campus, any other college football program in the country, and he gets about $1,000 worth of Nike or Adidas gear. At Virginia, boy, you got to earn that. You don't get that till you get to pick your number. At Virginia, there's only one number 7. There's only one number 3. We don't have multiple numbers. You earn everything in our program. And so when you tell a kid that, some kids self-select because they want it now, right? It's like that kid in the Willy Wonka Chocolate Factory. I want it now. Yeah. Well, that ain't life. Life is not right now. You got to earn it, man. I don't know about you, but I haven't been given anything. I had to go get it. And we have that mentality with our guys. And that comes back to the type of kid that selects Virginia and the type of kid that I get a coach, and you can ask a kid wholeheartedly, man, were you prepared for Saturday? What happened? Why didn't we win? Coach, man, I don't feel like you gave us the right looks, and man, I can wear that hat. or coach, we just didn't play our best. And then I knew the guy was going to swim me on that. I knew, you know, because I'd seen it 100 times, whatever. So, again, I think there's absolutely two sides to that. And again, I think that there's some secret sauce that Coach Mendenhall has, and really good at developing young men and building trust. And I think those are some things that we have in our favor.
Be an advocate for a young coach listening to this podcast, high school, college, doesn't matter. To give, and I think you've done it enough maybe already, but just why give coaches more time with their families? You know, what have you really, you know, what are some things you've gained? I mean, I feel like you've seen more high school football games than most, some of the guys I've talked to in their entire careers. You know, what does it do for, maybe it's a better question. What does it do for you as a coach to the loyalty of your head coach and to want to do your job well? You know, what does that do for you as a motivation factor and maybe a longevity for you in this profession career?
Oh, great question. I think that the most important thing, the single most important thing, again, is the energy you bring. Because, right, attitudes are contagious. Is yours worth catching? Right? And if you got a crappy attitude, man, nobody wants to be around that. And then sometimes it's hard because, you know, dude, you're on a 3-game skid. That sucks. But there's nothing worse than a 4-game skid or a 5. I mean, I've been there. You know, and again, I think the energy that I draw to be the best version of myself when I take the field on a Tuesday morning is because of the time I spend with my wife and my kids. They give me that energy. Why do I do what I do? Well, yeah, I want to make a difference. I want to make a difference in that young man's life. I want to get an invitation to his wedding. I want to find out that he's having his first child. I want to find out that he's landed his first real job. Those are big, big parts of who I am. I draw energy from that. I think there's a camaraderie and a pride in an organization when you do that. And I think for me, man, if I don't get to see my wife, because I've done that before. I've been on staffs where, bro, there was times early on in my coaching career, man, I didn't get to see my kids until Friday mornings. I'd get to take them to school. And it's terrible. And that's not the best version of me. That works for some guys, though. Some guys love it and they want their name tagged on it because of ego purposes. And I've never not been a champion as a college football player. I've never not won a championship. And the confidence that I embrace when I enter a room because of that, I want my players to experience that. And it's not arrogance, because I know the work that went into getting that acknowledgement. And it's not about me being able to say that. It's about me being able to give that confidence to the next guy. I mean, I got a phenomenal story as a young man. I got a coach my first year here. He was a fifth-year senior. I'd come home pissed every night. My wife's like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, man, I only get to coach this kid for 1 year. You know what she'd say to me? You better make it count. And I'm like, yes, ma'am. Because he's a phenomenal young man who's just been just tarred and feathered as a Virginia football player, right? Well, he ends up being a GA. And I made a promise, man, to myself. I never said a word to him. But I told him that there's gonna come a day where he's going to walk off the field and he will be a part of beating the other school down south, and he will be a champion. And he was that this year. And for me, for that young man to have experienced that, to be proud to wear the V Cross Sabres, man, I couldn't ask for anything better. Man, that was part of my fight. That's the reason I fought as hard as I did. I wanted that young man, because all he had given, to be able to say, I'm a champion. I beat Tech. You know, and to me, that I think when you have that mindset, if you're about your players, man, it's going to make you get in that for the long haul. And I think, you know, there's going to be things that you have to go through that you don't want to go through, but you got to know that what's on the other side. You know, I think if you have an idea or a set way of doing things, then put yourself and work your tail off to be in a position to do that, to be able to make those calls, right? But I will tell you this, man, no matter how hard you try, can't stop time. Going to keep going. And again, the best version of myself is after I've spent time with my family. Best version of myself is after I've been off. I've been on the phone with my daughter, who's across the country. You got to network with your buddies, right? Those things will help build energy. Like I just I love it when a young coach calls me, coach, man, da 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 da, and I'm like, you know, this is what I do, you know. And hey, I got a question for you. What do you do out of a 2-point stance, you know? And then he tells you something. Maybe it's something I've never thought of. And man, I just had a JV O-line coach tell me what he does out of a 2-point stance, and that might work. You know, so I think transferring knowledge is huge. And I've never ever been too big for anybody, man. I'm just humbled and happy that I got the opportunity to be where I'm at. And I knew what roads I had to take to get there. And again, it was all about my players. It was all about putting myself in a situation to spend time with my family. You know, driving a Datsun B210 for 7 years. I had to put the sunroof up so I could fit in it. You know, but that's what you do if you're really about your players and sacrificing for the game and developing young men, and it doesn't matter. You know, and so to me, that's the most important thing, man, is where are you getting your energy? Because caffeine's only going to work for so long, right? There's only so much of that. You got to have it come from somewhere. So, you know, if it's spiritually, you're a man of faith or that stuff, that's all, man, you can draw a lot of strength from those things.
Well, Coach, I want to honor your time, and I appreciate all your insights today. I think it was adds a measurable value just from this perspective, to know that there are other ways to do it, especially at one of the higher levels of football in the country. You know, and obviously we'll be rooting for you and hope that this offseason is fruitful and you guys get another chance to compete for a championship again next year.
I appreciate it. That's the plan. I appreciate it. And again, I would tell all those guys listening, man, if there's any time you have any questions, and you can just shoot me a DM on Twitter, and I'll follow you back. And like I said, give me a day or two, but I'll get back to you, because I believe the spreading and sharing of knowledge is powerful. And again, I hope to learn something from you as well as maybe give you a gem of my own. So would love to be able to help in any way I can.
Awesome, Coach. We appreciate it.
Thank you for tuning in to the Coach and Coordinator Podcast. If you enjoyed the content on our show, please don't hesitate to like, subscribe, and leave a 5-star review for our podcast on iTunes. Also, do not forget to check out our systems for skill development, blocking, defeating blocks, and tackling at footballdevelopment.com. Follow us daily on Twitter for content and interaction at FBDEVCoach, and be sure to check out X's and O's analysis on blogs.usafootball.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at Coach K. Grabowski.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.